Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
A few months ago, celebrity chef David Chang made a very bold claim. He said that the best Chinese food in America is in Las Vegas. We can neither confirm nor deny this claim, but we think we found somebody who can. Veteran food reporter Jonathan Wright from the Review Journal is a major fan of the cuisine. Today on CityCast Las Vegas, I sit down with Jonathan to talk up our Chinese food scene and literally spill the tea on where to find the best Chinese food in Las Vegas. It's Thursday, April 25th. I'm David Figler, and here's what Las Vegas is talking about. Jonathan, celebrity chef David Chang of Momofuku and others made a bold claim. He said that the best Chinese food in America is in Las Vegas. Do you agree?
I agree to a certain extent, probably to the most extent. That comment was made to me by Andrew Zimmern when I was interviewing him when he was here for the Super Bowl in February. And he said the best Chinese food and the best Asian food in America is in Las Vegas.
So two high-profile people in the chef space.
And I guess the only other real competition there would be San Francisco. And I have not eaten in San Francisco for a little while, since right before the pandemic. But in Vegas, there is a really excellent diversity. It's actually, it takes a lot of people by surprise. Before I moved here, I actually would not have guessed that either. Part of that is people who come to Vegas, even now, still tend to go stay in the Strip. That was certainly true of me when I was a tourist here, before I lived here. And yet we have this wonderful Chinatown just a few miles from the Strip, which is really the center of Chinese food and Asian food in the city. And there's incredible diversity. Cantonese, Shanghainese, Sichuanese, Hunan, the cooking of Xinjiang in far west China, of the Uyghur people. I mean, hot pots. It really is excellent.
Yeah. I mean, I'm wondering, though, in just listening to you, is it just because of the amount and the diversity that exists in Las Vegas? It doesn't seem like, beside what you said, San Francisco, there is such a concentration of not just Chinese food, but different kind of Chinese food. So are we almost singular in that? And maybe that's also why we're the best Chinese food in America?
The diversity is one thing, but we for sure are the best place in this country to get high-end Cantonese cooking. Mm. A kind of cooking, a Chinese cooking that many people don't even realize exists.
There really does seem to be a big umbrella of Chinese food, and I want to go through it with you because I think people don't really have that sort of depth of knowledge. And so I know this is going to be an incomplete list, Jonathan. I want it to be as full, but we do have so much here. So let's just jump into some recs in Vegas for, let's just say, the following scenarios.
Okay.
Number one, it does seem like soup dumplings are super hot right now. So if I like those, where should I be going?
That is a very easy answer. And two of my favorite restaurants in Vegas, no matter what. Shanghai Taste.
Okay.
In the Shanghai Plaza on Spring Mountain Road. And they're famous for the soup dumplings, also called Xiaolongbao. They're soup dumplings, so-called in English, not because they're in soup, but because of the soup inside. And then, right. And Jimmy Lee, who is the co-owner of the restaurant with Joe Mascaglione, who's a very big figure in Chinatown, was a James Beard Award semifinalist last year. And then right across the street in, I guess, is that called the Chinatown Plaza? Is Xiaolong Dumplings. And they have a giant mascot called Chairman Bao. And Their dumplings are also superb. At both restaurants, there's different flavors. And Shao and Bao have a very like specific architecture. They must be sturdy enough to hold the broth, but delicate enough that you bite off the top and slurp and eat it in a bite, right? I mean, yes. The best Shao and Bao are bulging with broth without breaking.
So let's switch gears to a fancy date night. Like you're going out to impress somebody. Let's say everyone's dressed a little nicer than normal. Where do you go for Chinese food on fancy date night?
We must start with Wing Lei in Wing Encore, the first Chinese restaurant in this country ever to receive a Michelin star, a beautiful glowing gold dining room. They are very famous for their Peking duck. This will be a revelation to people who are not used to a really high-end Chinese restaurant. The menu, the exquisite technique, the layering of flavors, the service. The same thing is true of Red Plate and the Cosmopolitan, which is impossible to find. And it goes way under the radar. It's one of my favorite places in Vegas.
Wow.
Also a beautiful modern Chinese room. Wonderful interpretations of Chinese classics.
Okay.
Beautiful service. They have a huge tea service you can order. You know, that's a whole other subject. Tea within Chinese cooking. They do a traditional tea service. I mean, some of those teas, you know, cost as much as cognac, okay? I mean,
of course. Yeah,
like Dragon Well, one of the famous teas from China. I would say those would be, and if someone else was paying, I would definitely be asked to take.
Well, that's fancy. Fancy date night is somebody loves you.
Right.
So, and you get to suggest. So we've got the Wind so far, and we've got the Cosmo. Is there another one or two for fancy date night?
Yes. Mott 32 and the Venetian. So for anyone who hasn't been there, it's sort of like the decor is really stunning, soaring. And it's kind of like steampunk meets Asia. It looks like no other restaurant. I love the little cabins at seat 4 in the back room. That's where I love to sit. But they have a great bar. They have wonderful seating variety. They are also known for their Shao and Bao. They do one that's hot and sour, that is tinted orange. But they are also known for their plant-based menu, which is absolutely, you know, a revelation. You cannot believe you are not eating meat. The smoked cod, and they keep it close to the vest about what the protein substitute is. Anyway, you would not believe they get the flakiness and texture and flavor of the cod. I mean, it is the perfect mimic, right? It's the perfect mimic that becomes the thing it mimics if it's perfect, right?
Of the three that you mentioned, I have been to one. I went to Mott 32. I really enjoyed, and we were in one of those cabins, so it was very cool. I definitely agree with you on that. And we got the Peking duck because we assumed we're in a fancy place and the Peking duck is a way to go. It was very delicious. Now, let's move to another category altogether. I'm curious, Jonathan, what your thoughts are on what's come to be known as American-style Chinese food, you know, like the orange chicken, the beef and broccoli, the egg foo young, the chow mein, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, here's the funny thing about that. Chinese cooking is so vast and so diverse and so old that even things you think might be completely Americanized may have been cooked at one point in China. An example of that is General Tso's chicken. And there was a General Tso. But in fact, it's been popularized in this country in recent decades. But it is actually derived from a Chinese dish. Same thing with egg foo young. There are dishes in Chinese cooking that you could reasonably trace that dish to, even though, again, it's like the kind of frozen thing from the 70s, right? That you heat up, you know, when you buy at the store. Although I happen to like egg foo young and I love the sauce.
Yeah.
And I've had it places that make it wonderfully.
I mean, does it come off as maybe a little basic, especially when you're going through those menus? It's so familiar. We all, I think, who have had Chinese food at some of these fast casual places have a vision of it, and it usually shows up looking like that. I mean, there does seem to be something less than authentic. Am I way off on that?
Well, you know what? Authentic is a fraught term. When I was younger and I was first starting out as a food writer and editor, I used to be like way more into the concept of authenticity. Like I would be the authenticity police. Like, oh my God, we have to guard this cooking from like interlopers, like people who don't know what they're doing. Like, especially when Yelp started coming on, I would be like, oh my God, we've got to like make sure we like do not give Yelp any kind of quarter because those people all don't know what they're talking about. And none of them still don't. But the concept of authenticity is, in some ways, it's a policing by people outside of a culture about what should be happening inside a culture, for instance.
And we're good at that as Americans.
Yeah. Oh, the best example is like hipster millennial tourists going to Southeast Asia. The kind of people who, you know, did van life or whatever. They're like, we want to go somewhere authentic, not touristy. Well, you know what? If it's happening in the culture, it's authentic by definition. Now, you have a kind of neocolonialist outsider's view of what you think that cooking should be. Well, the cooking is what the cooking is at any point in time, in any day, wherever they're cooking it. And remember, Derrida reminds us, authenticity is to be suspect because there is no bedrock of authority, right? Like, who is saying exactly what Chinese food should be?
Right.
Now, that all said...
but, again...
in every culture... there are dishes the people from that culture would call their own at any time in that culture, right? Remember, tomatoes didn't used to be in Italy. So I prefer to think of things as, is this something traditional or not, rather than authentic or not? And another but you know what? No one in China ever ate lemon chicken, okay? But, you know, so there's a lot of layers to this answer.
Absolutely. Well, and that's why I think people seeking whatever hipster influencer status or not, when you go to a Chinese restaurant, you're hoping to get something that's special. I think when you go to any restaurant, but when you go to a restaurant of a certain ethnicity, I will tell you one of the greatest experiences I've had in a Chinese restaurant was when I was with a group of public defenders. I have a law background. And one of them had either done a mission or had some work in China and spoke fluent Cantonese, but looked like, you know, somebody who would not if you were going to judge a book by a cover. And he just busted it out. And of course, you know, there's lots of these viral videos where the Chinese speaking folks are like, what?
Oh, yeah.
But once we got past that, we wound up with off-menu items and stuff that I, to this day, don't know what it was, but it was remarkable. I mean, isn't there that kind of component to it, too, that you want to go to these places and find these special items or these special dishes that you aren't familiar with?
Well, you can always ask. I mean, some Chinese restaurants have two menus, right? One for the Chinese people and one for the not Chinese people or people who know. I mean, I typically, if I'm sussing out the menu at a place I haven't been in, here in Chinatown in Vegas, a lot of the restaurants specifically cook from certain regions of China, right? They're not cooking kind of pan Chinese, some, but a lot of them, you know, it's a Hunan restaurant, it's a Sichuan restaurant. And then I look at it, if I don't see something I like, I just always ask, I'm like, oh, do you have, you know, husband and wife, which is a cold Sichuan dish I like, you know, whatever. Or I'm like, oh, do you have this kind of noodle maybe? And quite often you, and this is true for many, international restaurants, especially those run by people who are newly arrived in America. I think there's always concern about the general American palate and whether people can handle spicy or whether they can handle some, you know, funky or something, you know, or texture, like something squelchy or squishy. I mean, there's all those concerns. I don't think it's like, oh, we don't want to serve you our food. I think it's like, oh, we have, you know, concerns about the American palate, which I think are valid because a lot of Americans can't handle spicy food. A lot of Americans don't like squishy textures. A lot of Americans can't handle fishiness to any great degree.
Yeah, definitely the funk can be a barrier. Jonathan, where would you take your extended family out for a big group Chinese dinner?
Well, we grew up in Hawaii. And although I identify as a native Hawaiian because I am half Hawaiian, I'm also a quarter Chinese. So our palate or what we consider good is we're going to be picky, right? If we weren't going to do really high end, I do have a couple of thoughts. I like the Noodle Man on South Rainbow, south of Roy Horn.
I've not heard of it. So what's special about the Noodle Man?
Noodles. I mean, there are noodles from, yeah.
I figured that, Jonathan, right. Beyond the noodles. Although, you know, that could be its own thing, you know, that these are the, are these the best noodles that you've had in Las Vegas?
Some of them, they have the Shaanxi noodles that you shave with a knife from a block of noodles into the water, or they have the thick cut noodles for Mongolian beef, or they have Chongqing street noodles with Chongqing, is, you know, one of the centers of Sichuan cooking. So there's mala, there's that numbing floury heat, which is one of the greatest things in all of Chinese cooking. So they have that. It's a family owned. I had not been there until he suggested it. And now I go all the time, even though it's quite far from where I live. And also, I think Ping Pang Pong at the Gold Coast, longtime locals favorite, Big Tables, Lazy Susan's, a variety of dishes that can hit every palate, some less familiar, some more familiar. I do want to give a shout out to Chinglish, Cantonese Wine Bar in Boca Park.
Oh, yeah.
A very creative, modern take on Chinese cooking, fun decor. They have wine dinners. That's not typical at Chinese restaurants, but the owners are very into wine as well. It's family owned. Very interesting food. Really good flavors. A nice light style. And the chef there is Chef Lam, the Lam family owned, and his specialty is Popo's dumplings, which are chicken and chives and so delicate. I could eat like 2 dozen. If you're an adventurous eater, or maybe you know it, there is a place up Spring Mountain Road or just east of Jones. It's called Xian Wei Xuan. It's Hunanese. And the menu will be a journey of exploration for most people who aren't fond of Hunan cooking. Hunan is a landlocked province in Southish China, just to the east of Chongqing and to the west of Guangdong.
Okay, so I'll find it on a map. And what am I looking for in the restaurant that's in Las Vegas? I will first start the map of Asia, and then I will look at the map of Las Vegas, and then I will go in there. And what am I ordering, Jonathan?
Braised tofu, anything pork, the pork intestine noodles. Midway through it, they pour on a little broth, so you can have it as a standalone or you can have it as a soup.
Okay. I do want to change gears one last time. I mean, this car that we're driving in has got some stripped gears, but how about just straight up dim sum? Those can be fun, also intimidating. What, do you have a favorite dim sum place in town?
Yes. That was actually something that Vegas Chinatown might have been a tiny bit lacking in. I mean, there were dim sum places before, and China Mama was the leader of that, right? And then they had the fire, and now they're, you know, further east on Spring Mountain, right? A great new place. But I guess the big new dim sum news is late last year, Palette Tea Lounge opened on Spring Mountain, mid-ish Spring Mountain. So everyone who knows the Koi Palace restaurants from the Bay Area, very famous in the Bay Area, Koi Palace, those are the same owners.
What makes one dim sum place greater than other dim sum places?
Well, you know, you got to keep it moving, right? Dim sum doesn't last. Got to keep it going. It can't sit there. It's not a cupcake. It's got to be fresh, and you have to have enough variety, right? I mean, you can't just have, you know, potstickers, you know, shimai, hagao, blah, 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 you know, soy sauce noodle, dan tai. You got to have more. And they do more at Palette Tea Lounge, a lot more.
Well, and that's my jam because, you know, I'll see a pork bun and I'm like, that's familiar. I will take that. But when those little carts come by, there does seem to be a little bit of pressure, Jonathan. Like, I don't want them to linger there and they're looking at me and I'm looking at them and I'm pointing, basically. So what would be a good challenge for a dim sum newbie like me to jump into?
You could try the any kind of different kind of dumpling, like a Palette Tea Lounge, instead of a shrimp dumpling, they have a lobster dumpling. And then the dumplings come with a little ampoule of lobster stock that you inject into the dumpling, then eat it. Isn't that great?
What?
I know. Amazing, right?
Yes. Okay. Well, now we're getting a little bougie. I'm seeing, like, you know, conducting like the game of operation here, but instead of like a human figure, I'm looking at dumplings. and I'm injecting it into just the right spot, not making the little buzzer go off. Is it less complicated than that?
Yeah. Oh, it's fun to play with your food. The shalombao, they come with a black vinegar, traditional. But instead of liquid black vinegar, they're gelatinized vinegar spheres, like molecular gastronomy.
Oh, that sounds fantastic.
They make their shalombao from scratch. It is not typical to get those buns from scratch. They take a lot of work and they go sideways easily.
Mm.
To get the breading texture correct is no mean feat.
One style of food that I don't know that you've specifically mentioned is Sichuanese food. That's the more super spicy cuisine.
Sichuan cooking is famous in China for its heat, for its spiciness, for its, in some dishes, for its numbing heat. Chengdu taste is well known in Vegas, but it's very casual, but it's a great place to explore Sichuan cooking and to see what your spice level might be. The thing about Sichuan cooking is the spice isn't supposed to ever be, I mean, there are some things that are fiery, but there's a point to it, right? It's not like some dumb chili eating contest. And so Chengdu taste, a great reputation and a great place.
Fantastic. Well, we're going to list all these places that you've mentioned, Jonathan, in our show notes. One last question, though. What don't we have in Las Vegas when it comes to Chinese food? What's missing, if anything?
I will say that I happen to, and I think I mentioned this at the top of the show, I happen to love the cooking of Far West China, of the Uyghur people in Xinjiang. And I've actually been there. And they, it's Muslim, right? So it's lamb, right? And they have a certain kind of fatty lamb with a fatty rump that they raise. And they have a certain kind of bread that doesn't get soggy in soup, even though it holds up. It's kind of like a chemical miracle. I would like to see that kind of restaurant, like even in San Francisco, doesn't have. And sometimes you'll see restaurants that are like Chinese halal, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're from Xinjiang, right? I would like to see that.
Interesting. Well, Jonathan, amazing recommendations, and thanks for bringing all that knowledge to CityCast Las Vegas.
Yes, my pleasure as always. Good to see everyone.
And that's all for today here on CityCast Las Vegas. If you enjoyed the show, hey, go tell a friend, rate the show, leave us a review, and subscribe to our morning newsletter. We'll be back tomorrow morning with more news from around the city. Till then, stay lucky.